Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, and we'll read from the verse 26. Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, Mark 14, reading from the verse 26. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Most believe that the hymn that they would have sung was from the Hallel section of the Psalms, Psalm 113 through to 118, and those words being associated with the Passover, sung at the Passover time. When they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. We'll seek the Lord's face together, please, in prayer. We need the Lord's help as we come around his precious truth. Our gracious Father, we do ask of thee that great help will be granted to us as we come around thy word for this time. Lord, we pray that thou wilt take the scriptures that are before us. We pray, dear Lord, that the great truths that are set before us will be written onto each one of our hearts. We ask of thee, dear Lord, that thou wilt come and teach us today. O Lord, give us that receptive heart, an open ear to hear what the Lord has to say to us. Grant us thy help, we do ask. In our Lord's great name we pray. Amen. Amen. How often as God's people, we cause ourselves needless heartaches. There are often times when we are in great perplexity and anxiety. But much of that perplexity and anxiety is of our own making. And that is not to say that the Lord never leads us through dark times. The Lord certainly does lead us into and through troublesome times. Those experiences may even be likened to passing through the water, through the river, or even through the fire. Yet sometimes in those experiences we cause ourselves needless pain. And one of the reasons why that is so is that we have not been listening to what the Lord has been saying. We have not been listening to what the Lord has been saying. We find an example of that set forth in our text, which is the verse 28. In verse 28, After that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. After that I am risen. Now you think of when the Lord was crucified, the disciples were in despair. They were in great fear. And the very words that could have calmed their troubled hearts were words that the Lord had spoken to them right here in this text. After that I am risen. The Lord had spoken these words, but the disciples had not taken them to heart. And when the Lord was crucified, they didn't apply them to their circumstances. And so when the Lord was crucified, they ought to have been saying, but he did say after that I am risen. Those words were forgotten. And therefore they caused themselves needless heartache. If you look in chapter 16 and the verse 7. Chapter 16 and the verse 7. And this is a message given. Go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. And what a wonderful thing that the message was for Peter in particular. Go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And as if this message was saying, I've already told you this. You ought to have kept it in mind. You wouldn't have had to go through this heartache that you have gone through. Now, it's interesting that while the disciples didn't register what the Lord said in verse 28, the Apostle Peter did register what the Lord said in the previous verse. So in verse 27, Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And as if Peter got that word offended in his mind, you're saying I will be offended. And perhaps as he was thinking over that, he missed then what followed. After that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter thought of this. I will be offended. And he challenged the word that the Lord had said. The word offended there actually has the idea of tripping over a stumbling block. And sometimes then we read in God's word of the idea of a stumbling block. And the unconverted then find the Lord to be a stumbling block that they stumble over and they don't trust upon the one who is the rock. As sometimes the stumbling block can have the idea of a more permanent type of fall, but it can also refer to a fall that is temporary, and that's certainly how it's used here. All shall be offended, or all shall fall, all shall trip, referring to the disciples. And the Lord explains that this would take place then in the scattering of the sheep. In verse 27, all shall be offended of me this night, for it is written in Zechariah 13, the words we read earlier, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. And Peter then doubted what the Lord was speaking. He didn't believe that what the Lord was saying was true. He perhaps could see that it might apply to someone else, but not to him. I will not be offended. And it wasn't that he doubted the Lord's ability, but he exaggerated his own. So he wasn't doubting the Lord's ability, but he exaggerated his own. And he didn't foresee and he couldn't accept that within such a short time he would deny the Lord. In verse 29, but Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, even if all these others will, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, verily, truly I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And the Lord said to him, within only a very short period of time, you will have done the very thing that you're saying never could happen. And yet while the Lord gave that extra warning, in verse 31, he spake the more vehemently. Now those words, he spake the more vehemently, are actually unique to the Gospel of Mark. And that is interesting because many believe that the writer here, John Mark, being a very close friend of Peter, drew from Peter from a lot of the information that is recorded under inspiration, of course. Now that, if that is the case, isn't it interesting that Peter didn't try to make himself appear better? But in this gospel that some have referred to as Peter's gospel, it says, he spake the more vehemently. It's emphasizing that Peter was so absolutely sure that he would not deny the Lord those three times. But he was not the only one that was confident. At the end of verse 31, likewise also said they all. And sometimes we focus in on Peter, but every one of the disciples said the same. We will not be offended. We will not fall. We will not flee from you. We will not deny you. Now, thinking about what the Lord said there in verse 27, the Lord said all would be offended, and he related it to this particular quotation in Zechariah 13, where he is pictured as the shepherd. I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. And so the Lord was saying, I am the shepherd, you are the sheep. Now that particular figure, I believe, carries into the next verse, although not every commentator seems to have mentioned this. But if you look in the next verse, verse 28, after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Now remember, the Lord is speaking as a shepherd in the eastern context. What did a shepherd in the east do? He went before the sheep. And the Lord then is saying, after my resurrection, I will still be like a shepherd. I will go before you. I will still be as the shepherd. John 10 verse 4, when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. The good shepherd is the one that loves his sheep. And I believe that's really what has been emphasized then in this verse 28. After that I'm risen, I will go before you into Galilee. After that I'm risen, I will still be the same loving shepherd that I am now. And the Lord's death then, as he would lay down his life as a shepherd, would not change the fact that he was the shepherd of his sheep. And after his resurrection, he would still be the shepherd of his sheep. And I want to look then today at the shepherd's love. I want to think first of all of the depth of the shepherd's love. In verse 29, the Lord, or in verse 28 rather, after that I am risen, the Lord says there, after that I am risen. And surely there's a very clear inference of death. After that I rise from the dead, I must die first. There must then be this piercing that is spoken of in verse 27. I will smite the shepherd. The shepherd must be smitten. And so in Zechariah 13 verse 7, it says there, awake, O sword, against my shepherd. And against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And the Father there, speaking of the Son, calls him my shepherd. The Father, speaking of the Son, calls him my fellow. And what we have then in our text, in verse 27, isn't a direct quotation, it's more like a paraphrase or a partial quotation. For in Zechariah 13:7, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. And the Lord paraphrases it here, I will smite the shepherd. That is, the Father will smite the shepherd. The Father will smite the one that he called his fellow, the one that had that equality with him in the Godhead. Within the next few hours then, the Lord was to be arrested by men. There would be the lifting up of the human sword, as it were. The Jewish leaders would come with the Roman soldiers. But as we think of the sufferings of Christ and the death of Christ, the fiercest sword was not the sword of the Romans. The fiercest smiter was not among the Jews or among the Romans, but it was, in fact, the Father. I will smite the shepherd. Thomas Kelly, in his hymn, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted, said, "Tell me, ye who hear his groaning, was there ever grief like his? Many hands were raised to wound him. None would interpose to save. But the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave. The sword then of the fierce wrath of the Father was taken, and it pierced through the lovely sinless Lamb of God. And Christ then willingly bore that sword because he loved the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep." And you think of those hours when the disciples were in such distress, separated as they were from the shepherd. That pain, that agony, was nothing in comparison with the agony of the shepherd himself, as he was cut off from the Father, as he cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And these words then surely bring us to see the depth of the shepherd's love. "After that I am risen, after I have proved the greatness of my love for the sheep." But I want to move on then and see the graciousness of the shepherd's love. For in the verse 28, it says, "After that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee." I will go before you. Now the Lord, as he spoke those words, he already made it clear that he knew the disciples would flee. "You'll all be offended. You'll all fall temporarily. You will all flee." And yet he said, "When I rise, I'll still be the shepherd. When I rise again, I will be in Galilee there waiting for you." That speaks to me of grace. Surely these disciples, these sheep, they did not deserve such a shepherd. But you see, they never had deserved such a shepherd. Commentators have discussed, why was it that the Lord did go to Galilee to meet with the disciples? Now, he did meet with them, of course, in Jerusalem as well. But why did the Lord go to meet with them in Galilee? And one reason it is suggested is because that was the place where it had begun for the majority of the disciples. It was in Galilee that the Lord had called them. It was in Galilee that the greater part of the Lord's ministry had been performed. It was in Galilee that they then had followed the Lord and they had heard his ministry, they had witnessed his miracles. And the Lord then, as it were, brought them back to Galilee. He brought them back to the place where it had all begun, humanly speaking, for those men. If you think of that, Galilee, where they had first walked with the Lord, where they had first followed the Lord, where they first were those sheep following the shepherd. Did they deserve the shepherd then? Certainly not. And so now when the Lord says, "After that you have been offended, and after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee," he was showing them, "You didn't deserve my grace then. You don't deserve it now. Grace is that which you never can deserve." The Lord had taken them with all their faults, and yet he loved them. J.C. Ryle said, let us take comfort in the thought that the Lord does not cast off his believing people because of their failures and imperfections. He knows what they are. He takes them as the husband takes the wife, with all their blemishes and defects. Or equally, he takes them as the wife takes the husband, with all of his blemishes and defects. As one joined to him by faith, will never leave them. He is a merciful and compassionate high priest. And I want you, dear child of God, to take encouragement in this. That as the Lord looks upon you today, he is not looking then at you, asking the question, are you deserving of such a shepherd? For none of us ever have been or ever will be deserving of such a shepherd. And as you think of your fall, as it were, in Judea, the Lord would bring you right back to Galilee. And he would point you to your Galilee. You never deserved the Lord there either. When the Lord first spoke to you, when the Lord first said to you, leave your nets, come and follow me, you didn't deserve that. It was all of grace. And though through your action, perhaps you have denied the Lord, through your sin, you have denied him. I remember, like Thomas, you have had those great doubts. And yet, while all of that, the Lord is still the shepherd saying, I will go before you into Galilee. And if there's one in the meeting and you're still not converted, this is the message of the gospel. You never are good enough and you never will be good enough. How many there are and they say, I will come to Christ when I put this thing right. And when I get this part of my life cleaned up, then I'll start to think about these matters that you're presenting to me, but I have to put these right first. And they have this idea, I'll make myself better. I'll make myself worthy. And then I'll get saved. But listen, sinner, you never will be worthy enough. You're to come now. You're to come in that penance, in that repentance, in that repentant heart right now. And cry to God for mercy. Because he is a God of grace. Surely there are lessons for us here as God's people. As we look at each other, and we look at each other as sheep that have stumbled. How often we look at each other and we see that we, that our brethren have not been as they ought to have been. And we look at our brethren and we see how they have stumbled. We see their failure. Sometimes we write them off and we say, well, maybe they're not the Lord's after all. They have never experienced anything of God's grace. And we have this idea, they couldn't be the Lord's because of what they have done. And yet if we did the same thing, we want others to be gracious to us. You think of those words of Paul in Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And when you have been that sheep that has stumbled, how glad you have been to see that the Lord has forgiven. When you see your brethren fall, may you be that loving one that draws near to encourage. Because there is this graciousness of the shepherd's love. May there be that graciousness in our love toward one another. So there's the depth of the shepherd's love, the graciousness of the shepherd's love. And related to that idea of graciousness, I want then to see the perseverance of the shepherd's love. The same Lord still loved the sheep. If you could turn back with me to Zechariah 13, there is part of this verse that the Lord didn't refer to in Zechariah, or in Mark 14 rather. And yet, in a sense, I believe he alluded to it, though not directly. Zechariah 13, verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And that's the part that the Lord referred to, smite the shepherd, the sheep shall be scattered. But then I want you to notice these words, I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And so in verse 7 there, we could say we are reading about the hand of the Father. The hand of the Father lifted to smite the Son. But then we read of the loving hand of the shepherd. I will turn mine hand upon the little ones, upon the weak ones, upon the ones that have infirmity, upon the insignificant ones. The word can even have the idea there. As the world sees, that's what we are, the insignificant ones. If you turn back then to Mark 14, in verse 28, after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. And aren't those words, I will go before you into Galilee, are they not the fulfillment of those words? I will turn my hand upon the little ones. The little ones in this case were those 11 disciples that were offended, that were scattered. But as the Lord rose from the dead, he turned his hand upon them. He went before them into Galilee. And this incident then, this appearance in Galilee, has all to do with restoration. Perhaps there's a Christian today in the meeting, and you feel yourself as one of these little ones. You can recognize your weakness. You can recognize your failing. You're falling. And perhaps even you can identify with Peter, that you had great confidence in your ability to stand in the hour of adversity. And for whatever reason, you haven't followed through. You've denied the Lord by some sin. But the Lord doesn't take his sword of justice against you. The sword of justice has been taken against the Son. But instead, a very gracious hand is turned to you. If you turn with me to John chapter 21, and we'll see here that what happened in Galilee was all about restoration. And the restoration here is the restoration of Peter in particular. So remember how the message was sent to the disciples and Peter go into Galilee. And so it's likely that Peter wondered, would the Lord take him again? He had denied the Lord for whatever reason. And as he had done that, he could rightly ask, will the Lord take me again? And so in Galilee, the Lord, he dealt with Peter's doubts, first of all, by asking a question. In verse 15 of John 21, and when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Some believe that the these are referring to the disciples. Do you love me more than the disciples? Some believe that it's a reference to the fish and the fishing. Do you love me more than this whole livelihood of yours? Lovest thou me more than these? Do you love me? And the word there, it has the idea of a deep love. It has the idea of even a sacrificing love. Do you love me, Peter? And Peter then, he replies, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. But the word that Peter used in his answer was not the same word the Lord used. The word that Peter used is a lesser word. And we could say, Peter said, I have affection for you. Perhaps Peter feared to take that same word the Lord had used for a deep love. He now feared his own heart. And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know my heart. I can't say this. I have an affection for you. So in the next verse, verse 16, he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? This same word of a strong, deep love. He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee, I have affection for you. In verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? But in verse 17, the Lord didn't use that word of strong love again. He took Peter's word. And as if he was saying, Peter, you have said you have affection for me. Do you even have that? Do you even have that affection for me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Now you think of what we have there. The Lord could rightly ask Peter the question, do you love me? Yet Peter could never rightly ask the question, do you as the shepherd love me? Peter did not have to ask that question. He knew that the shepherd's love was unceasing. The shepherd's love was persevering. And even though then Peter had denied the Lord, the shepherd was still that same shepherd. The shepherd's love was still that same shepherd's love. And Galilee then was the place of restoration. And perhaps then, these words of our text today are God's word to you, dear child of God. I will go before you into Galilee. And perhaps there's some Christian in the meeting, and you have fallen, as it were, in Judea. And the Lord is saying, I'll go before you into Galilee. I'm intent on your restoration. I'm intent on restoring to you the years that the locusts have eaten. I bring you back to where it all started, as it were, that you would hear again those words, follow me, forsake the nets, don't follow afar off. I wonder today, is the Lord waiting for you, that there might be restoration? Galilee was not only the place of restoration, it was the place of commission. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 28, Matthew chapter 28 and the verse 16, and again we read about events in Galilee after the resurrection. Matthew 28 verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Remember how in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul talked about there how he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and in verse 6 he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. And some commentators believe that that occasion where he was seen of 500 brethren, above 500 brethren at once, took place here at Galilee. But that is only a suggestion as to where that particular appearance of the Lord to that 500 took place. But I want you to notice what Matthew records here. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they had saw him, they worshipped him. They worshipped him. And as you think of that, the Lord had gone before them into Galilee as their shepherd, and they could worship him. Here is the shepherd that has laid down his life for us. He's still the same loving shepherd of his sheep. They were full of wonder over his love. But as they worshipped him, some doubted. And the word doubted there, it actually is the idea of two minds. Somewhere two minded, double minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Perhaps they were double-minded because the shepherd was about to be taken from them. And they had questions and perplexities over that matter. Maybe even over the work of God How can the work of God go on if the shepherd is not among us? And it's in this context then of being in Galilee, in response to what the Lord had said, I will go before you into Galilee. It was being in Galilee and they doubted, that the Lord brought the words of the Great Commission. In verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. And here is some were doubting. The Lord said, be full of confidence. I am with you alway, even to the end of the world. And if you, as you have doubts over the work of God, be assured, the Lord's presence is guaranteed. I am with you alway, even on to the end of the world. Now, as they met there in Galilee, the Lord focused their minds upon the work that lay before them. They were to minister. They were to disciple. They were to baptize. But then there would come a time when the race would be done. I'm with you on to the end of the world. Campbell Morgan said, the smiting and the dark hour would be the prelude to and the preparation for a new gathering in which he would go before them and lead. And so he was saying there that the Lord said, I'll go before you into Galilee. But when he got to Galilee, he was talking about another meeting day. David Harsha said, how delightful to think of this meeting of the Saviour with the 500 brethren in connection with that blessed reunion of the redeemed on the shores of the Galilee above. O Galilee above, O Galilee beyond the clouds, how blessed is he whom Jesus has preceded in order to prepare a place for him on your ever-verdant valleys and sunny skies. And again, that particular writer was saying that this meeting in Galilee, it pointed to another beautiful meeting. And as the Lord then went before those 11 disciples into Galilee, the Lord has gone before you and I into glory. And the Lord, he is there, and he is waiting for us. He is waiting to receive us. 1 Peter 5:4, when the chief shepherd shall appear. And the Lord then today is in heaven, and he's there as the shepherd. When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The shepherd will come. The shepherd will bring us to where he is. He has gone before us into glory. Let us keep our eyes then upon the shepherd. Let us rejoice today in his great love. And as I close, is there one in the meeting, you're still without Christ? You're not in the Lord's flock. And surely as you have these words, then smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. These words are emphasizing to you, you need this shepherd. For that day, as the shepherd was smitten, he was smitten in the place of the sheep. Smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Who deserved the smiting? The 11. You and I. But instead of us being smitten, the shepherd was smitten, stricken and afflicted. But if you're not one of the Lord's sheep, then you must bear that smiting yourself. You must bear the piercing of that fierce sword. And oh, today, if there's one in the meeting without Christ, that you would flee to Christ, that you would rest upon him. We trust the Lord will take his word and bless it to all of our hearts. Amen.